Baptist in prison. And the message to John the Baptist is a message of reassurance. Yes, this is the moment, because John wasn't entirely sure. Now, for the sake of clarity, this is not the Apostle John, one of the 12 disciples. This was John the Baptist. John's ministry was prior to the ministry of Jesus and then a little bit concurrent with it. John the Baptist was appointed by God to herald Jesus to Israel. John's role was to prepare for the Messiah. John's job was to announce the moment has arrived and then to point to Jesus. That was his role, which he did. Jesus' first disciples, of course, were previously John's disciples. John had pointed them to Jesus. John baptized Jesus. John was there when the Spirit descended on Jesus as a dove. But then John told Herod that it wasn't a good thing to have his brother's wife, so Herod put him in a dungeon. Now, while John was in prison, he's actually starting to have some doubts about Jesus. I just want you to notice here, doubts are not a problem. It's what you do with the doubts. That's the issue. John does the right thing with his doubts. He goes to Jesus and asks him. He thought that Jesus would bring a messianic fire of judgment to purify the nation Israel, and that just wasn't happening. It wasn't working out like that. That wasn't what he was hearing. Now, of course, Jesus would bring that messianic fire of judgment, and he still will bring that, but that's a future event. Jesus is involved in a very, very long-term project, and John didn't quite grasp that. So John sent messengers to ask Jesus, verse 3, "Are you the one to come, or shall we look for another?" In other words, John is asking this question, is this the moment? Is this the day? What was Jesus' response? Well, it's there in verse 4. By the way, if you've got Matthew open, chapter 11, it'll be very helpful. Very helpful if you bring your Bibles with you. Verse 4, "Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. Lepers are cleansed. The deaf hear. The dead are raised up. And the poor have good news preached to them. Blessed is the one who is not offended by me." Now, Jesus is recalling a prophecy from Isaiah. It's chapter 35, verse 5. "Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened." And Isaiah was saying, at that moment, at that time, the eyes of the blind shall be opened. And Isaiah continued, "The ears of the deaf unstopped, the lame man will leap like a deer, and the tongue of the mute sing for joy." And Jesus is saying, that's what's happening. The moment is here. The judgment will come in time, but John, have no doubt, this is the day. So that was the reassurance for John, who was shortly to lose his head. And Jesus then taught the crowds. He turns to the crowds because what is very clear to Jesus is the crowds just don't get it. They don't understand that this is the moment, the day. The crowds accompanied Jesus, they saw his miracles, and yet they were not convinced. Why? Well, in part, it's the very fact that John the Baptist had been put into prison. Herod has left them wondering, what then is the point of all this? What sort of salvation is this turning out to be? John the Baptist pointed to Jesus, but now John's in prison. What are we expecting here? Some sort of a messenger, John turned out to be. Oh, sure, he had the big words, like, "He will clear his threshing floor and gather his wheat into his barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." But we don't see that happening. John obviously can't stand up against Herod. So Jesus turns to the crowd and he asks them a couple of very pointed questions. And the questions are actually about John the Baptist. What did you expect? What did you expect? Verse 7. "What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind?" In other words, you know, a prophet who was weak and would bend before men like Herod. And a reed just, you know, bends in the wind. Is that what you think a prophet is going to be like? Verse 8, what did you go out to see? A man dressed in soft clothing? Well, behold, those who wear soft clothing are in king's houses. So in other words, Jesus is saying, did you expect to see a prophet come with all the trappings of human privilege and power? Surely not. Verse 9, what then did you go out to see? Well, you went out to see a prophet. Yes, John was a prophet, just like the prophets of old, pointing you forward to that moment, the day of the Lord. So Jesus is affirming John. It's interesting because John the Baptist in the beginning of the Gospels is really part of Old Testament history. He's the last of the prophets. And then Jesus goes on in verse 9 and says, I tell you more, he was more than a prophet, for he is the one of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you. Did you pick that phrase up, that verse up, when we had Malachi read just earlier? Because that's where it comes from. It's a quote from Malachi. Malachi is the very last book of the Old Testament. Just 400 years before Jesus, Malachi told Israel that before that great day, God would send a messenger to announce the moment, the coming of the Lord. And John, says Jesus, he was that messenger. Last of the Old Testament prophets. But just consider for a minute what Jesus did not say. If John's task was to announce the coming of the Lord God to his people, and if John pointed Israel to Jesus, then who does that make Jesus? You know the answer to that. But that question, Jesus just leaves hanging. He doesn't directly address it. But it's there to be answered. And then Jesus goes on to explain just how great John really was and therefore who he is. So verse 11, truly I say to you, among those born of women, there has arisen no one greater than John the Baptist. What does that mean? Well, Jesus means that John was the greatest of the prophets, because the context here is all prophecy. How so? Because the prophets prior to John could only try to envisage what God had for the future, and God revealed that to them, and they strained to see what was ahead, and they said, it's coming. The day is coming. Whereas John could actually look at Jesus and say, he's here. Now, you've got to understand, prophecy is not this business of trying to forecast the future. That's a modern idea. In the Bible, prophecy is all about pointing to Jesus. So all of the Old Testament prophets pointed to Jesus. John most especially and most fully pointed to Jesus. Look, there he is. Go and talk to him. And of course, that's what he did with his disciples. We're going to see in a minute that we also can point to Jesus. We'll come to that. But if John was the greatest of the Old Testament prophets, here's the surprise. You are even greater than John. How does that work? Well, verse 11. Yet the one who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he, that is, greater than John. How can that be? The answer is, you can point people to the risen Lord Jesus Christ, crucified to take away the sins of the world, risen from the dead, seated on the throne of heaven. We can reveal Jesus in a way that John the Baptist could not even imagine and did not understand. How extraordinary is that? We tell the gospel. We point to Jesus with a clarity that even John the Baptist could not achieve. Our prophecy is greater than the prophecy of John. You, friends, are all prophets. Tell someone the gospel, what are you doing? You're prophesying. You're telling Jesus, the risen Christ, to whoever you're speaking to. Not only that, you do it in the power of the Holy Spirit, who hadn't been given in the time of John, and who himself reveals through that word of the gospel, the risen Christ, to those who hear. Now we come to verse 12. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. Now that's a strange verse, isn't it? But actually the meaning is clear. You see, think about the context. John was in prison. And the verse says, from the days of John the Baptist till now. John was soon to be executed and beheaded. Jesus himself was shortly to be crucified. This moment, the moment that the prophets had all looked forward to and pointed Israel to, was in fact a moment of violence against the kingdom of heaven. Starting with the rejection of John the Baptist, the plots against Jesus the Messiah, which we're starting to read about now in the Gospel of Matthew, culminating in the execution of their Messiah king, it was a time where violent men would try to destroy the kingdom of heaven, a time when the kings of the earth would gather together to plot against the Lord and his anointed. What did I just quote? Ian. Yes, Psalm 2. Psalm 2, verse 2. The kings of the earth gather together and plot against the Lord and his anointed. A time of violence. That's what Jesus was saying. For all the law and the prophets prophesied until John, and if you are willing to accept it, he is the Elijah who was to come. He quotes from Malachi 4:6, "Behold, I will send Elijah the prophet before the great and awesome day of the Lord comes." The very last two verses in the Old Testament, the point at which the Old Testament closes, "I will send you Elijah so that you'll know when the moment has arrived." And Jesus said, it was John. Check out the last two verses in the Old Testament. Then Jesus winds up his commentary on John with an exhortation, and this is really where the rubber hits the road, friends. Verse 15, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Now, when you read that in the Bible or you hear it spoken in a sermon, what's the question you want to ask? The question you want to ask is, am I hearing? Do I have ears to hear? If you're not asking that question, then maybe you don't have ears to hear. So we need to be asking the question, am I really hearing what Jesus is saying here? That's what he's asking us. Jesus is saying, the moment has arrived. Are you listening? Have you understood? And the answer that Jesus came up with about the people who were gathered all around him was, no, they don't have ears to hear. They don't get it. So what he does is, as Jesus often does, he tells them a parable. And it is the image of children in the marketplace calling out to their friends. It's not difficult to imagine, isn't it? You know, they've got some instruments with them. And they say to their friends, "We played the flute, you didn't dance. We played a dirge like a funeral march, and you didn't mourn." And what's the message? Why didn't those children either dance or mourn to the music? And it's because they didn't hear. They weren't listening. And therefore, they didn't respond to the music. Didn't matter what the music was, deaf people, generally speaking, don't dance. They were missing the moment. Jesus says that's how Israel is towards John and towards himself. Jesus' parables are so clever. You see, John came neither eating or drinking, Jesus says, and they say he's got a demon. Don't listen to him. And then Jesus comes eating and drinking, and they say, well, look at him, a glutton and a drunkard and a friend of tax collectors and sinners. Don't listen to him. So it doesn't matter what tune is being played, nobody's going to listen to it. These people do not have ears to hear. They're not listening. They're not understanding. And they're about to miss the moment, never to recover. Which brings us to verse 20. And in this section, Jesus denounces those cities in which his works had been done because they just weren't listening. Woe to them. They saw Jesus. They saw what Jesus did, and yet they did not turn to God with thanks and repentance and believe in Jesus. Comes out in verse 21. Woe to you, Chorazin. one of the cities of Israel that Jesus had done his miracles in. Woe to you, Bethsaida. If the mighty works done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon were up north, not part of Israel, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I tell you, it'll be more bearable on the day of judgment for Tyre and Sidon than for you. And you, Capernaum, now Capernaum was kind of like a center of Jesus' ministry in the whole region in Galilee. Will you be exalted to heaven? You will be brought down to Hades. For if the mighty works done in you had been done in Sodom, it would have remained to this day. But I tell you, it'll be more bearable on that day of judgment for the land of Sodom than for you. Of course, you had the testimony right in front of your nose. So friends, what about us? Well, there are two questions here. My first question is for you, if you're a believer, if you've received the good news of Jesus, the forgiveness of your sins, put your faith in him, if you're one of those who has prayed, thank you, Lord Jesus, for dying for me, to purify me. Thank you for counting me righteous. Help me to follow Jesus. If that's you, have you understood this morning the power of prophecy? See, true prophecy is not being able to say to your friend, oh, this is going to happen, that's going to happen, and you should do this. True prophecy is to point to Jesus. That's genuine prophecy. And that's what happens when you tell someone the good news of Jesus. Through you, the Holy Spirit works through his word and brings people to Jesus. That's why we're all sitting here today. Because we've heard the prophecy, we've believed, and now it's our turn to prophesy. Prophecy didn't finish in the Old Testament or with John. There's a real sense in which prophecy only just began. So we point people to Jesus. We need to point people to Jesus because there's 250,000 people in our LGA who just have no idea and they're missing the moment. And we have this light. And the light, Jesus tells us, is to be like a city on a hill, visible from everywhere. Not something stuck under a bucket and hidden. Your testimony that you follow Jesus is so important. And then people will ask you, what's that about? Or you just have the opportunity to tell them some other way. Prophecy. But there's a second question, and the second question is this: what if that's not you? Are you about to miss the moment? Do you have ears to hear? Or are you standing back, kind of superior and cynical, unconvinced no matter what? Sound familiar? You see, it was their moment, the crowds that Jesus was speaking to, but now it's your moment. Right now. Jesus' miracles that were done in Bethsaida, Capernaum, blind men seeing, lame people walked, lepers restored, dead people raised from the dead, they are nothing compared to the miracle of Jesus' own death and resurrection with an incorruptible, immortal body. The first fruits of the resurrection, pointing us towards our own future, for we will all be raised, and he will be the judge. And this has been the testimony of Jesus' people, his church, for 2 millennia. But that day, friends, is drawing to a close. The moment will be over. When Jesus returns, the opportunity will be lost. And for those who fail to see or hear the message, the night is drawing near. Have you heard the good news? Jesus, the Messiah, the King of Israel, rose from the dead, just as the prophets foretold in the scriptures. He has provided a way of forgiveness and reconciliation to God, a demonstration of God's love for all of those who turn to him, and indeed the whole world, Jesus is the moment. Jesus is holding the curtain open for you. The groom is standing ready for his bride. You are his bride. He has delayed the ceremony so that you can be there, so that you can be presented to him perfect and spotless, cleansed by his blood and dressed in white. Jesus is playing the melody for you. Will you dance with him? Have you heard the music, or are you one of those children who just aren't listening, too busy playing in the dirt? Jesus is calling your name. There is a place at the table inside for you. He guaranteed it by his death on the cross for you. Jesus was watching those crowds of Jews milling around him, and he was thinking, you are missing the moment. What's on his mind as he watches you? He who has ears to hear was Jesus' challenge. Will you pray with me? Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this message from Jesus. We thank you that the moment has been kept for us, the day of salvation, still open for us who turn to Jesus and find the life that he has promised. Help us, Father, and teach us this gospel message, the forgiveness that we have through his blood and his sacrifice, the life we have through his resurrection, adoption as your children, heirs of eternal life. Father, help us to receive and accept this message with joy. And Father, we pray for our city. Please, Lord, grant to many, many people in this city repentance and faith that they would hear and believe. Bring many to this church. Help us in our witness and testimony to them. For Jesus' sake, we pray these things. Amen.